Hebrews 13, verse 1 to 16. It is in page 1212 in the Bible. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers. For doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immortal. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcomes of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by eating ceremonial foods, which is of no benefit to those who do so. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sin offering. But the bodies are burned outside the camp. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside of the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God as a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not do good, and to share with others, for which such sacrifices God is pleased. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Remember it, turn it on this week. I forgot last time. Brilliant. Well done. Thanks, Zoe, for reading. That was fantastic. Do keep your Bibles open there at Hebrews 13, if you would. Morning. It's lovely to see you all this morning. Great to be here. I gather the heating's slightly lopsided. The radius worked that side and not that side. So I'm lucky because I'm in the position where I've just turned round. So this side has been a bit cold, this side warm. I'm now facing the other way. I'm looking forward to my left side being warmed up, which is great. It is great to be together, and it'll be great to be together next week. I'm really looking forward to our joint gathering. I'm not around on the 29th. I know some of you are able to come up to Christchurch, but next Sunday we'll be getting a chance for us to be together as one parish, two churches, gathering together for this exciting licensing of Emmanuel Bakey to be the minister in charge here at Emmanuel for this next season of life and ministry and witness. Emmanuel's a wonderful man. I've only got to know him over these last 3.5 years, but he's a godly man, a man who loves Jesus, a man who is seeking after God, and it'll be a new season for him as well as for you here at Emmanuel. So I'm excited about that. Of course, it's important to say, and I know you know this, but he's a non-stipendiary minister. That means he's self-supporting. He doesn't get paid to do it. He's a volunteer in that sense. And he has another job. He's a GP. He works up in Wandsworth Prison, and he's a GP in a surgery as well nearby. So he does that a couple of days a week, long days. So he's not going to have lots all the time that your previous ministers would have had, who were full-time and so on. But he wants to throw himself, him and his wife Toyin, the lovely, godly Nigerian couple who are on fire for the Lord and who want to step into this new season of leading the church. And I know you're going to encourage them, and they will be a great encouragement, I'm sure, in their ministry. So we'll look forward to that licensing service next week. And as Chris said, if you can stay for lunch afterwards, that would be really great, because you'll get a chance to meet one or two of the Christchurch folk, as well as Emmanuel and Toyin. And just bring something sweet or savoury, just enough to share with a few people, and hopefully we'll have enough. We used to do signing up, but now we just risk it. And so you may get a little lunch because there's not a huge amount, or you may get a big lunch because everyone's brought loads. The Lord will just provide just enough for those who are there, and we'll enjoy that fellowship. And it's more about the fellowship than the food anyway, isn't it, those lunches? It's about being together. Wonderful. We're looking at Hebrews 13, but particularly verse 8. But Hebrews 13, as Zoe read it, is a brilliant chapter, isn't it? It's so full. As you, I don't know if you were listening carefully and reading through carefully when you read it, but it's got something to say about an awful lot of things. It talks about love within the church family. It talks about hospitality to strangers, not just friends and family. It talks about concern for those who are in prison. It talks about honouring marriage. It talks about the importance of sexual purity. It talks about money. It talks about contentment. The stuff in here about church leadership, about avoiding false teaching, submitting to authority, about outward religion. There's stuff in here about exhortation to worship, to praise God, to doing good, to sharing with others in very practical ways, and of course an encouragement to pray. It's an amazing chapter, and it's worth repaying reading it through slowly and seeing some of these challenging calls to life as a Christian. But did you see right in the middle of it, on all this practical stuff, buried right at the centre of this chapter, is that little phrase which we're going to have as our parish verse for the year, this year, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you should have had one of these cards on your seat when you came in. Jen has put together. That is a card for you to take away with you, to put on your fridge if you do fridge and magnets and that sort of thing, or to put on your mantelpiece if you've got one of those, or to blue tack it to your bathroom mirror so you look at it every morning when you look in the mirror and you think, oh dear, and then you look lovely afterwards. I mean, you look lovely, obviously, in the morning in your bathroom mirror, I'm sure. I'm just sort of thinking about myself. But if you can look at that and then you look at Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever, and you start the day thinking, yes, come on, Lord. I'm going to live for you today. So put it somewhere where you're going to see it. And this is the verse that's going to shape us. Why are we choosing that verse? Why that verse particularly? I mean, there are apparently 31,102 verses in the Bible. I didn't go through counting them all. That was a Google search. And you don't believe everything, but I'm pretty sure that's right. 31,102 verses in the Bible. Why are we using this verse for this year? Well, it's true to say that this verse has been an important verse in the life of this parish for 161 years. I was reading through the first 100-year history. James Barsley, he was the second vicar. In his final sermon in 1884, he preached from this text when Christchurch celebrated its golden anniversary, its 50th year in 1913. A visiting preacher ministered from this verse. A couple of years later, when Henry Newton, that vicar at that time, announced his decision to retire, he recorded these words: "I desire to say in conclusion, remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever." This has been a passage that's been around for an important in the life of this parish. The Reverend Wycliffe Jones, he was the vicar during the war, at least during the first part of the war, and in December 1940, in the height of the wartime, he wrote this as bombs dropped around London. He said, "The cure for the sigh of despair is look backward, count your blessings, and an upward look, for Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever's happening, this is true. So clearly this has been an important verse for the life of Christchurch. And then in that little booklet of 100 years of the parish, there's a report, and as you know, I'm sure some of you have seen that booklet, on the work of Emmanuel, because that had been going for 28 years in 1960, or in 1963. And this was how that section of the little report concludes. It says, looking back over the 28-year history of Emmanuel Church, we thank God and are encouraged to face the tasks of the years ahead, confident of his unchanging faithfulness. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So this verse has been important in the life of the parish for that first 100 years and for the last 62 years. And it's important for this coming year, of course, because it's a year of change and it's a year of new things. But this verse is important because it takes us to the heart of our faith. Yeah, it takes us to the one who stands at the centre of the church, who stands at the centre of history. This verse fixes our eyes on Jesus. And in the joys and in the sorrows, in whatever lies ahead in the next 12 months, wherever God's purposes lead us, whether that's for you as an individual, whatever the path that God is going to take you on this year, whatever that's for us, a church and a parish, whatever the next 12 months holds in terms of change and new things, more than anything else, we need Jesus. We need him at the centre. We need to hold on to the one who is unchanging in his nature, in his character, in his love for us. And so this verse focuses our minds and our hearts on Jesus. And of course, that's what this letter of Hebrews is written for. If you know the letter to the Hebrews, it's written to help this Christian community stay on track, stay focused on Jesus. Some of them were being tempted. They were being tempted to give up, to stop following Jesus. They were drifting away from him. Some of them were going back to their old lives within Judaism. And it's tempting. We've been tempting to do that. It still is today to go back to be like everybody else. It's kind of safer. It's safer and it's more attractive, often just to fit in, to be like our neighbour, to be just like everybody else in the world, to not live for Jesus. And the writer is exhorting these Christians to keep going, to stick with Jesus. And you get that throughout this letter. So chapter 2, verse 1, we read, we must pay most careful attention to what we've heard about Jesus so we do not drift away. This danger of drift is always there. Chapter 3, verse 12, he says, see to it that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It's easy to do that, to turn away rather than to keep focused. Chapter 10, verse 23, he writes, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful, unchanging. Hold unswervingly. This is a focus to keep on track. See, God wants us in this year ahead, for all of us, his people, to have this unchanging Jesus at the very centre of our lives. To not drift, not turn away, but to hold unswervingly. Or chapter 12, verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's nothing more important than to have him, to keep him, this unchanging Jesus, at the very centre of our lives in 2025 and the centre of our church. Why Jesus Christ? I mean, there's plenty of other things we could focus our eyes on and focus on other than Jesus. But why Jesus? Well, this is, came across some of these quotes about the person of Jesus. This is these are from people who, some of them are from people who didn't even believe him or at least follow him. This is what Napoleon writes. He says, look, I know men and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there's no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne and I founded empires. But on what did we rest the creation of our genius? Well, upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love. And at this hour, millions of men would die for him. Napoleon could see, even with his own power and influence and shape, that Christ is no mere man. His influence is so much greater. The author H.G. Wells, he wrote this. He said, "I'm an historian, I'm not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very centre of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure in all history. Jesus is at the centre of everything, at the centre of history." And then the famous Albert Einstein, he said this: "As a child I received instruction both in the Bible and the Talmud. I'm a Jew, but I'm enthralled by the luminous figure of the Nazarene. No one can read the Gospels without feeling the actual presence of Jesus. His personality pulsates in every word. No myth is filled with such life." He was drawn. People were drawn to Jesus. They could see. This man who's hugely influential could see that in Jesus. It couldn't be myth. He's this luminous figure that shapes history. None of those three first figures were followers of Jesus. They chose to give their life to him, but were still astounded by his power, his influence, his personality. It was the Dostoevsky, the Russian writer. He was a Christian believer. He says this of the character of Jesus. He says, "I believe there's no one lovelier, deeper, more sympathetic and more perfect than Jesus. I say to myself with jealous love that not only is there no one like him, there could never be anyone like him." He's unique in his character, in his personality, in his love. See, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This Christ who we need to have at the centre. What does the book of Hebrews say about Jesus? Well, it has an awful lot to say. We can't cover it all. But the book of Hebrews is making very clear that Jesus is utterly unique in the one whom God reveals himself through. This is how it starts, the book of Hebrews. "The Son is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word." Jesus is the revelation of God. How do you know God? You come to Jesus, and Jesus reveals what he's like. People say, I don't know this God who's distant, far away, invisible. How can we possibly know what he's like? And God says, look, I'm sending Jesus. And that's Christmas, isn't it? Christmas is the great celebration of the incarnation of God coming into the world, of Emmanuel. What a great name for a church and a pastor. God becomes flesh. He's the exact representation. If you want to know what God is like, you come to see Jesus and you discover what God is like. The book of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus is greater than any other spiritual power. If you read the first chapter or two, he's greater than the angels, he's greater than Moses, he's greater than Abraham. No one else is worth following. Why would you drift? Why would you turn back? Why would you go elsewhere? Because Jesus is the one who's supreme over all. The book reminds us then that Jesus is the only one who can take away our sin and bring us back to God. He's the high priest, the ultimate perfect sacrifice for our sins. He's the great high priest who lives and intercedes for us. Jesus is the one who is at the centre of everything. According to this book, Jesus is Saviour and Lord and God. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And of course, we're never the same, are we? We're always changing. Everything's changing. We're always changing. Nothing is exactly the same as it was yesterday. Yet the world has turned again. I'm a bit older. I'm a little bit greyer than I was yesterday. Don't want to admit that, but I am. I'm not sure I could see that right now, but Debbie probably could. She'll say, "Oh, there's that extra one there. I'll pull that out." And it's a lost cause because we're changing every day. I hope I'm just a tiny bit wiser than I was yesterday. I've had another day to live in God's world and to experience God's world. And of course, everybody around us is changing. You know, you're all changing. You're not quite the same as you were yesterday. You know, equally, you're more beautiful today than you were yesterday. I didn't see you yesterday, but I expect you. I mean, you couldn't have been more beautiful yesterday than you are today. So, but we're changing. Everything's changing all the time. 2025 is not going to be the same as 2024. It's gone now. It's in the past, but we have changed. But everything is changing, but we know this, don't we? That Jesus Christ will not change. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's steady. He's reliable. He's faithful. He's eternal. He's like an immovable rock. When the sea is surging, when the tides come in and out, when everything else moves, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we can trust him. And we can fix our life on him, the unchanging rock. When everything else will move, anything else we establish our life upon will change. And ultimately will let us down. Or not be able to accomplish what we put it on. Whether that's something good like our family or our spouse or the things the people we love. In the end, they're going to change. They're going to move. They're going to ultimately die. And they can't do what Jesus can do, which is provide that ultimate solid foundation for our lives. So as we begin 2025, as we set out on this year, the first question to ask, I think, for each of us, and I want to ask you today, is are you building your life on the rock of Jesus? Is he taking center stage? Are you trusting him? Have you put your hand into his hand? Are you following him? Do you have this firm foundation for your life in this year? Can I say, look, if you're not sure if he's real, many people don't believe that Jesus even existed, but if you're not sure whether he's real, if you're not sure if he's reliable, that you can really trust him, if you're not sure if he's really worth it, you know, if he's going to diminish your life rather than enhance it, if you're not sure about all those, I want to say make 2025 a year of discovery, a year of focusing, a year of seeking after this Jesus, discovering more about him. And I'll encourage you to read a gospel. Take a gospel away. There's some gospels outside. Take a gospel. Read it and reread it. Sign up for Alpha at the end of January. Maybe you would say, yeah, I do believe, but I don't really sure why, and I'm not sure if I still do. And Alpha's quite a great way of just reestablishing some of those foundations of faith. So that may be something that you want to do. But I want to say, discover who this unchanging Jesus Christ is and fix your life firmly on him. If you are someone who's trusting Jesus, as I look around, I think probably you are, or most many of you are. I don't know you all, and only you and the Lord know that. Can I suggest that this daily reminder on your fridge, on your bathroom mirror, on your mantelpiece. You can take two if you want and put them in two different places, and then you could see it in two different places each day. When you see that verse each day, can I suggest it reminds you of three things? And just briefly, these three things. The first is that as you remind that, you look back with thanksgiving. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday. So we look back, and we look back to the cross, and it is the heart of our faith. It's at the very center. Jesus suffered for us to take our sin, to take every sin, to make us right with God. In chapter 10 of Hebrews, of course, we see that he finished the work and he sat down at the right hand of the Father. It's a wonderful picture of Jesus sitting down as a demonstration that his work was completed. Because it contrasts with the priests in the temple who never sat down. There wasn't any seats in there. They stood all the time because they were conducting the sacrifices. They were doing the job. They had to do it endlessly, repeated it day after day. They had to keep doing these sacrifices. So they were always standing. But Jesus sits because he's finished his work. It's completed. On the cross, he says, "It is finished." It is completed. It's accomplished. And so as we look back to the cross, we look back to that place of forgiveness and peace and reconciliation. And we look back with thanksgiving. And we know that our past is resolved, that our slate is wiped clean, that we are seen and known and loved by Jesus. So whatever happened yesterday, or whatever happened last year, or whatever happened a decade ago, we don't live shackled by our past. We don't let the past hold us down. Now, some of us live with consequences of the past. We live with some of the decisions we made that maybe we sometimes regret. There are reminders that come up of our past mistakes. But we are not defined by those things. We are not defined by our sins. We're not defined by our past. We are defined by God's forgiveness and grace that comes through Christ Jesus. So every day we look back and we don't live, you know, we give thanks for many good things in the past, but we don't live in the past. We live in the present with thanksgiving for God's grace in Christ. Look back with thanksgiving when you see that verse. Look up with faith. Jesus Christ is the same today. So where is Jesus now? Well, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us. That is, he is there on our side. It means whatever you're doing this year, wherever God takes you, whatever you're not going to do this year on your own. You're not going to do it in your own strength. We're not going to do it in our own power. But Jesus is with us by his Spirit, and he's rooting for us at the Father's side. And he's cheering us on with the great cloud of witnesses of Hebrews 11, who've walked before us and done it before us. So we're not on our own in this year. Every day you wake up and Jesus is there cheering us on at the Father's side, saying you can do it, and encouraging us. So whatever life throws at you in this year ahead, whatever challenges you have, maybe at work, or difficulties in your family, or struggles with your health, whatever it is, with your finances, whatever it is, you're not alone. We are not alone. We go to the unchanging Jesus. These are some of my favourite verses from Hebrews 4. Rather small writing, but let me read it to you. You may be familiar. Therefore, since we have this great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, unchanging, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's a great, great promise. Great encouragement. Yeah, we've got Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He became like us. He was like one of us. It's Christmas, the incarnation. He took on human flesh, just like one of us, with all our weaknesses, with all our frailties, yet he was without sin, the one perfect man. So he can empathize. He knows. He knows whatever challenge you face this year. He knows what it is to be human. And now he invites us, because of that, to the throne of grace, to come to him. Any place, anywhere, any time. Yes, when we're in church like this, we can approach the throne of grace. But when you're at home, when you're on the train on the way to work, when you're struggling at home, when you're in your hospital bed, approach the throne of grace. Approach the throne of grace. Jesus is waiting. We look back with thanksgiving. Jesus is the same yesterday. We look up with faith, whatever situation, because Jesus is the same today, full of grace. And of course, then we look forward with hope, because Jesus Christ is the same forever. Because we're not just hoping for the best in a wishful thinking kind of way as we enter this new year, as we start the new year. Not just thinking, you know, hope it'll go okay, hope it'll go well this year, hope the best for you, fingers crossed. I mean, I see people doing that, even Christians sometimes say, oh, I hope it'll go well for you. And I know they're kind of just, you know, that's a nice wishful thinking. We don't do that, do we? Because we know that God is sovereign over all things, and Jesus Christ has this future mapped out and pathway mapped out, and we don't know what it's going to be, and we don't know which journey we're going to travel, but we trust him for tomorrow, and we trust him for next week, and for next month, and we trust him for next year, and we trust him for ever, for eternity, because that's what he's working his purposes out. And of course, that doesn't mean that things don't go wrong. So there's a mystery. I know that, but there's a mystery in God. It doesn't mean that life isn't hard. We live in this fallen world, and it's broken, and we're a bit broken, and things go wrong, and life is hard and difficult. And I remember someone saying to me, he said, if you hear a person say, oh, this is the worst day of my life, you should always say, oh, don't say that. You should say, this is the worst day of my life so far. that was a sort of negative Norman sort of thing to say. I mean, I wouldn't encourage that, but you know, that wouldn't be very empathetic. But of course, it's true. I mean, you know, we don't know what lies ahead. Things can get worse. Things can get bad. Because we live in a fallen world and it's a broken world. But of course, with Jesus, when you're having a great day, you could say, you know, don't just say, this is the best day of my life. I mean, it might be, but you say, this is my best day of my life so far. Because you see, things only get better, not always in this world, but the ultimate future that Jesus has is far greater and far richer. This is what he says, doesn't he? I mean, a lot of Hebrews is about this, particularly Hebrews 11, but verse 14 of chapter 13. He says, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. There it is. Wonderful. This is the truth that Jesus wants us to set our hearts, not just on this world, but on the world to come. When we set our hearts on the world to come, of course, this world gets richer and deeper, and our purpose is here. C.S. Lewis, he said, those who focus their minds on heaven get earth thrown in. Those who focus on their hearts and minds on earth, they miss both. And so we focus our hearts on heaven, Jesus Christ, that enduring city. He's the same forever, and we're going to be with him in a new creation, free of sin, free of suffering, in a beauty and glory for all eternity with him, with one another, and to celebrate, to work, to serve, to live in this new creation. That's our future hope. But it means tomorrow we can trust him, and the next day. See, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So can I encourage you, as we come to communion, just in a few moments, we're going to celebrate communion. Can I encourage you, brothers and sisters, this morning, if you've not yet come to Jesus, if you've not yet put your life firmly on the rock of Jesus, well, I'm going to encourage you, come to him this morning. If maybe you've drifted away a little bit, you've drifted off, you've walked away a little bit, you've just not hold on swerving, you've just swerved a little bit, I want to say this morning, come back to Jesus. He's always waiting. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His arms are always wide open to receive back anyone who's drifted away a bit. Just come back to him today in your heart, with your life. And for all of us today, we can always draw closer. Come closer to Jesus. Look back with thanksgiving. Look up with faith, look forwards with hope. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Let's pray, and then we're going to sing before we have communion. Just a moment quiet for you to, in your own heart, speak to the Lord. Share with him anything that's particularly on your mind. Commit yourself to drawing closer, to staying near to Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning for your presence with us. Thank you that you've sent your Holy Spirit to be among us. And his great desire is for us to lift our eyes to focus on Jesus, to give him the glory. And Father, we pray that in this year it will be true, that your Spirit will keep moving and helping us to fix our eyes on Jesus. The one who is unchanging, the one whom we can trust, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, Lord, please move in us, keep shaping us, making us the people you want us to be, those who would look back with thanksgiving, look up with faith, look forwards with hope, because Jesus is the one who fills our every moment. Oh, Father, do this work in us, we pray, for our good, but do it above all for the glory of Jesus in our lives and in the church. For we ask these things in his precious name. Amen.